What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
So, hey, we're doing this study tonight on Timothy. We're just jumping right in. Welcome to Monday night. I know some of our crew is in 21 Project Kona, Hawaii. They're having a blast right now. Don't even pray for them. They're having so much fun. They're in the infusion guys. I mean, honestly, just I think Holy Spirit's got them in their own journey. I'm just kidding. I'm in fun. But yes, pray for them. But for those of us that are scattered around Huntington Beach and here in, we're going to jump into this study on Timothy tonight. So if you got your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. And let me just check. Is everything working, guys? We're good? Okay. So tonight's study is the introduction, the first chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the reason this is so key, there's so many reasons this is so key, but tonight's message is called Accept the Call. Accept the Call. Would you say that out loud? Just scream it wherever you are in your bedroom. Accept the Call. Okay. All right. There it is. I'm going to say it again. Accept the call. So here we have this background where Paul is writing this letter. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. Many people say this is his last. Stop where you are right now. Think of this. It's his last testament and will. The writer of Romans, the writer of Corinthians, the writer of all these books, this is his last book. And it is amazing in the ways of God, watch this, is he writes his last book to a human. It wasn't to a particular church or geography, but when it came down to the last hour of the church being passed down, he went the Jesus route. He needed, and hold on, he needed a man. He needed a woman. It's the timeless passing of the baton of the way Jesus does it. Paul, operating in Jesus's methodology, knows it will do no good to write a final letter to Ephesus or a final letter to Galatia or a final letter to the church at Corinth. He needed Timothy. Turn with me. We're looking at verse 6. For this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Just like you and I are tonight, reminded out of the gates to do something very unique, very, very unique in Scripture. We don't see this lesson in Scripture anywhere else, but in this final letter, but that you and I have a responsibility to fan into flame the gift of God. And so a few years earlier, you got to understand where Paul is. Paul is in prison in Rome. He's out, five, 6 years earlier when he was in prison, he'd be tied to there'd be a few guys in his cell. He was able to write letters more freely. Now, this is when Nero had burned down Rome. Nero had burned Rome to the ground. He went completely demonic. He goes into this unbelievable catastrophe in human history, and then he hangs it on the Christians. So this is when Christians are being burned, crucified all over the city, used as lamps. And so it's in this hostility and this hatred and this absolute demise that Paul is in prison in the darkest places of dungeons, the most crowded places of dungeons. And Jesus is getting ready, watch it, to push the church forward. Always note the weakness. When the weakness factor goes X factor, Jesus is about to do the impossible. Let's look at this. Under house arrest, it moved to this place where he was barely able to have light, barely able to have light to write the letter. He's chained to a number of prisoners writing a final letter. Just think of Paul's tenacity. We like movies about men and women that overcome. Where is that great letter of 2 Timothy showing Paul in prison, writing in the darkest of night to his good friend, Timothy? We see that everybody, as always, had deserted him. It's the Jesus way. At the cross, they all left him. They left him in his greatest hour of need. Why is that? Speaking to the saints of all generations, we find this play over and over. Why is so often the one passing the baton alone? Deserted. And deserted by those that he trusted, that he gave his life. The Bible goes out of its way to say this one in chapter 1, verse 16. Onesiphorus was with him. Literally, the Bible goes out of its way to say there were two. Luke in chapter 4, verse 11, and everyone else had defected, but he forgave them. The unoffendable heart fully in place, he writes, may it not be counted against them. Chapter 4, verse 16. Their cowardly retreat, he forgives. And make no mistake, that's what it was. Their cowardly retreat. Wasn't that at the cross the same issue? The cowardly retreat. May not that on that tree come to me. May not what that prison holds come to me. I will flee. And Paul needs Timothy to embrace the call. If he doesn't embrace the fullness of the call, what becomes of the church? Paul isn't God. Paul isn't the all-knowing God that knows where his church is going. Paul's a man who's throwing down all that he can, that in his lifetime, it would be said, he lived it all on the field. He didn't have the luxury that you and I have to see Christianity go for thousands of years. In Paul's mind, in that prison, it was do or die. Live or die. And Paul writes that way. You see, the church at Ephesus is where Timothy is. That's where Timothy, many people say, was saved as a young 20-year-old. And so now he's an older man, and the church at Ephesus had fallen back into corrupt theology, had fallen back in ungodliness, like the hour we're living in now. The church had fallen back. Idolatry had raised up. And you know when you got to confront idols? Gideon is an example. He had to take down that fatherly generational idol, and idolatry taking down usually always results in tremendous unpopularity. Look what he writes him. The situation of abandonment was upon him. And here he speaks to him and he's getting ready to engage him in not being ashamed of Christ. Let me connect something for you. When I say accept the call, I want you to make an equal sign. It equals don't be ashamed of Christ. You cannot accept the call if you are ashamed of Christ. We're going into the deep end of the final letter, and we've got to treat it with respect. We must treat the text with the respect that Paul, writing his final words, deserves. Here he says, and for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Look at the context of that. We preached that. But look at the context now of the sentence. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. We use that in fear of man freedom class, as we should. But this is a deeper revelation. But of power, love, and discipline, there's the line. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in what? In suffering. For the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, and now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, brought life, immortality to light through the gospel, for which Paul says, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. And for that reason, I also suffer these things. But I, Paul says, am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed. What a sentence. What a sentence. And I am convinced, what a line. In that prison, I am convinced that he is able, look at the word he chose, to guard. All the Roman guards, all in front of him. He saw a greater power to guard his destiny and his life. And he says it, and it is this one I have entrusted myself to until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you've heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And during the Boxer Rebellion, not a lot of us remember history in that way, but it was in 1899 to 1900, and it was in China. And China had come up with a campaign to kill Christians. And they were killing the Christians, and they surrounded this Christian mission. And in the dirt, they made a cross and they at the only exit out of the building. They'd closed off all the other exits. There's only one exit out of the building. And in the dirt, they made a cross. And they said, if you come out of the building and stomp on that cross, you shall live. And the first seven students in that mission school walked out, stomped on the cross, and they lived. And the eighth girl went down on the cross and touched the dirt that had smashed the cross into pieces. It kneeled, and she was shot. And the next 93 students, all of them, walked out and did the same. And they were all killed that day because they stood for something that was just like Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of that cross. I am not ashamed of the man on that cross. I am not ashamed of the words spoken to me through the man on that cross. Isn't it amazing? Some will trample the cross and some will stand for the cross. And Paul knows he's got to get Timothy to stand. Paul knows he has to reach him. The second section of Timothy, 2 Timothy, focuses on not being ashamed. And that's where I want to park in my brief moments tonight. Honor the text. We want to honor the sobriety of the moment, the historical context, and the moment in our own times that we live in. What will we decide? What will you decide? Will you be able to say, like Timothy did at the end of his life? Do you know how he died? This letter comes to him in 66 AD. In 97 AD, most scholars say that in the history of the church, not in the scriptures, but in their historical research, they believe that is when Timothy died. Do you know how he died? There's two accounts. He was in Ephesus and idolatry was raging. And as they were celebrating Diana, he rose up and he preached against Diana on the streets. Some say he was close to 80 years old. He halted the procession with a message of Jesus Christ, and they brutally beat him and stoned him and dragged him through the streets until some Christians recovered his body, and he died 2 days later, broken and beaten by the men and women who wanted to worship a God who had no life. I think Timothy got the message. And the message is in this book. If you want to live that out to the end of your days, study 2 Timothy. It's incredible, this book. There's one admonition, there's one, affirmation in this book of Paul's faith, of Timothy's faith. But then he comes and gives him at least 25 imperative commands, exhortations, affirmations of how he's to live. No, wait a minute. If this is a Rocky Balboa book, this is where Jesus, through Paul, throws down. He says, we're playing for keeps. I'm going to tell you one thing you've been doing awesome, and you're one man filled by the Spirit. But I'm going to use the imperative in the Greek, which is a commanding language. And I want to emphasize to you, I want to make it real to you. I want to exhort. Have you been around an exhorter? You can be in depression, and on the other side comes an exhortation, and you can be soaring. This book has 25 of those exhortations. I triple dare you to get your pen out and find them and write them down on your mirror and get filled with the same exhortation that made a Timothy at 80 years old, the bravest man of his day, passing down what real Christianity was. He was stoned. He was beaten to death. Many say, right before he died, John was led off to Patmos, knows the suffering of the saints. And on Patmos, he wrote Revelations. It was in this season, the end of their life, they showed their true colors. And we all are the beneficiary of these great men who followed in Christ's example. What will we decide? I want to ask you these questions. No matter how gifted a person is, no matter how well-trained, no matter how biblically literate, no matter how astute, articulate, no much opportunities come their way, if they lack spiritual courage and commitment, they'll never be effective for God. Let me tell you it truly. You can be the most astute communicator, but if you do not have courage and you'll bend in conviction, your effectiveness will be limited by that level that's inside of you that is ashamed of the gospel. Let's look at this. Paul says, whatever the consequences, I will boldly stand for Christ. In the text, Paul tells us and mentions this theme three times, verse 8, verse 12, verse 16, because it's the heart of his message to the young pastor, Timothy. It is a call for him to have an uncompromising, unflinching commitment to proclaim Jesus Christ, regardless of the danger or difficulty. I'm telling you what an uncompromising man he needed Timothy to become. As Christians, sometimes we can be ashamed of the Lord at some time or another. Maybe it affects our social standing. Maybe it affects our popularity. Maybe it affects our success in business. I remember in my business years that I was getting lined up for a promotion that I deeply wanted. I wanted to move fully and completely in business. And I had already been promoted many times. And this was, I think, promotion number 7. But this was the one I really had worked towards. So I was I won't disclose where I was for just the sake of the story saying generic. And we went out to a dinner and that was where the promotion was going to be given. But the one who was going to give me the promotion said, I love going to a specific strip bar. I've never been to a strip bar in this city. And you come with me to the strip bar and that's where I will promote you. And so the limousine, I remember, pulled around to the front of that hotel. It was in one of the most beautiful cities in America. And I ran into the emergency exit of the hotel and hid behind the stairs. And they searched for me all over saying, where did he go? I pulled a Joseph. I ran. I wasn't smart enough to articulate why I would never go. But the next morning, I can tell you this, there was no mention of a promotion. And it was my final days being counted down in the marketplace. As I said, I will not go into those doors for any money, for any promotion. May it be said of me and my household that we would never walk into that place and compromise Jesus Christ. It was there that God saw something he could trust. It was there, I know it was, as I wept at the plane ride by myself, knowing I'd missed my moment, and God cheering me on. Come on, Timothy. This is what it will always be about. It will always be about saying no to that door of compromise. What an encouragement. I hope you're encouraged tonight. It is a call for him to have that uncompromising life. Maybe you're discouraged right now because you find that you have been ashamed. Well, join the club because Peter was probably the most famous, ashamed person we can find in the history of the earth. No more told story than Peter's denial three times of Christ. And yet we see this wonderful man preaching this message. Oh, he was a different man when the baptism of the Holy Spirit struck him, because he was commanded to stop preaching, and he declared with John in Acts 4:19, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. Peter, being a role model, he didn't understand who would see that day, but I'm sure Timothy was looking in through the window and seeing Peter, the rock, take that stand. You know, some scholars have nicknamed Peter Rocky. I find that hilarious. It was in some obscure theology book I read, and they said they had been nicknamed, and I can't fully believe it, and I won't fully believe it until more scholars go with it. But it's enough for me to know this man, Peter, was standing like a rock, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul is unpacking it here. You see, Timothy had become perhaps fearful or apathetic, passive in his ministry. Say it out loud, passive in his ministry. Difficulties had made him passive. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to do what, oh, I can't do that. He'd seen Ephesus, trouble from within the church, trouble from without the church. Perhaps his spiritual fire may have cooled. Paul says, I'm mindful, though, of the sincere faith within you. Chapter 1, verse 5. And then the exhortations unleash. It's time to build the baton carrier. Tonight, it's your turn. See, if no one takes you serious, Jesus does. If man doesn't take you serious, Jesus does. If some music superstar that wanders around with a worship world doesn't know you, Jesus does. Some famous speaker on the stages of the world doesn't know you, Jesus does. And Jesus is intensely serious about you. He is not persuaded by the ranking power of the earth. He has no favorites. He sees you like you are the only woman and man on earth, and he wants you to be his Timothy. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that unbelievable? That's why he says, more than we can think or imagine, because that's what happens to the sold out, uncompromising believer that's unashamed. More than you can think, more than you can imagine, Reinhard Bonnke, more than you can think. He filled the fields of Africa with an ardent faith that said, I am not ashamed. I see a blood washed Africa. You're that next. Isn't it your time? It is your time. Let's keep going a few more minutes. Whether it's right in the sight of God. Well, there I read that already. Let's go on to the next issue of shame. He's speaking directly to Timothy and indirectly to all of us. And he unleashes, and I wish I could go through all of them, but you can. At least 8 ways you can guard against being ashamed by God. Can I give you one or two? The first one is to renew your gift. It's time to renew your gift. Did you know that your gift is linked to your calling? Because your gift is charis. That's the Greek word, charisma. It's a gift that was given to you by God, and your calling was given to you by God, and they're inextricably linked. You cannot have a call. If you don't have a call to do something in Africa, you won't have the gift to go to Africa. But if you, sir, have been to Africa 5 times, and every time you go, everyone gets saved, then there's proof that you have a gift, and Africa is in you, then you must renew your call. If you're a discipler of men or women, every time you do it, 10 women come, and they're filled with fire. 10 men come, and they're filled with fire. And then you have a call to train that is linked to your calling and gifting. Can I say to you that it's time for us to renew and kindle afresh the gift of God? And that's why Paul is talking to him. You know, the Greek word is beautiful. It means to kindle afresh, keep the fire alive, fan the flame embers into flame, and let them not die out. It carries the idea of constancy. You must constant. That's the Greek. If the Greek scholar was following you around tomorrow, he would say, or she would say, constant, 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 constant. You say, shut up. Constant, 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 fan the flame, fan the flame, fan the flame. Constant, constant, constant. That's the Greek language. It means consistently. Renew the flame, not on an annual special altar call, but in your grit. Do you know the Bible says to die daily? It says that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. That means every day when I get up, Brian Brent gets up, the first conversation I have with my God, my friend, my Savior, and my King is, Jesus, all that I am is yours today. I have nothing to do but your will. Count me as your servant today, that I might fulfill your every desire. Ask me to do anything, and I will do it. There is no job that I will say no to. Count me as one who has died to myself again today. That is a constant in the Greek. Constant, die to yourself. The reason we ourselves. If you use your ministry to minister to yourself, in other words, to grow yourself and become this person and that, and their goal set is not in the kingdom, the gift dries up. But when you use the gift to use it into your calling, the calling explodes, because the calling, you always watch, is about others. Can I say that again? The calling is always about others. Kindle afresh. You can't kindle afresh and go, I just want to be a superstar for Jesus. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get more likes on my Instagram. I'm going to get more views. I'm going to get more TikToks. I'm going to get more of that. Some of that, you never know. You might be 15 years older and look back and go, I think some of that had some flesh in it. Some of that had some of this in it. What I'm saying to you is that when we die daily, we are saying to the gift of God on our life, wake up in me and serve others. Yeah. And so there shouldn't be something that brings us this, oh, I got more views than that person. I got more than that person. If that's satisfying you, you know you need to kindle the gift afresh. Because no addiction to likes or personalities or people will ever lead you into an unwavering unashamedness towards Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling Timothy. We must honor a man in prison. Yeah. We must honor a man in dark prison, dank quarters, writing with his pen this gift. And so let's continue on. This believer's divine gifting. Full, say this with me, full constant use. And then we're close with this. I wish we'd go longer tonight, but I don't think I have the strength to do that. Number two, how do I stay unashamed? And closing with this. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. You must, to stay unashamed, understand your resource. You must, to stay unashamed. Now, this is important. The second means for guarding against being ashamed of Christ is to consider what has been given to us. In the Greek, this word didomai means that it has already been given to us. I know you're not a Greek scholar, but this is fun. It is an aorist active indicative tense. What did that mean? It shows it's been completed. Why cry out for his power, love, and self-discipline when it's burning in you, but it just needs to be stepped into? So many of us are waiting for an experience that has already occurred. And when we step out into our calling with our gift renewed, we walk into the impossible. I'm telling you, that's the secret that Paul is trying to get Timothy to understand. The Goosebump Festival isn't going to proceed. The Goosebump Festival isn't going to proceed. It's rather the rawness. I remember I told Christy when she began to hear God's voice. I said, Christy, I never hear God's voice like you. I can't hear it, but I know the scriptures, and I'm just going to stick there as a primitive Christian. You obviously have the gift of prophecy, and I don't think I was left with that gift. I understood that. But my calling is over here in the gift of evangelism and the gift of training and making leaders. So I'm going to park myself over in my parking lot. Now you park yourself in your parking lot, girl, and you tell me crazy stuff. And I'll tell you what, I'll go to work on anything that's from heaven. And we formed a dynamic team because we weren't searching for a goosebump. We were searching for nothing. We had it inside of us. Ditto mine. It had been given to us. And we knew his power. When I walk up to demonized people, I always had people say, how come when you pray for the craziest demonized people, the demon always comes out in minutes, sometimes in seconds? And I said, it's simple. The difference between you and me is I am filled with the power of God, just like you. But the demon knows you don't believe it. The demon knows not only do I believe it, I'm about to rain terror upon his position. And it will be seconds to his demise because of what Christ has done for me. Ditto my. For it is not you who speak. Watch this. Jesus, this is a secret of the ways of God. The Lord oftentimes withholds special help. I'm going in just a week for surgery. And I'll come out in better shape than I went in. Because I understand this scripture. That God gives us special help when we have a special need. You're not going to show up 4 weeks before. That's time for the doctors to tell me all the difficulties and challenges. That's their time in court. Then comes the last minute when I'll be wheeled into the room. And Jesus there wheeling me will say, though it lied to me, ditto my, it's inside of you. The power, the self-discipline, and the love. Do not be afraid. Can I have someone stand and witness that it's time for you to stand in faith over what God has deposited in you? The Lord may withhold special help until we have special need. Why, you say? Well, Jesus told the 12, when they deliver you up, don't become anxious about what or how you will speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Matthew 10, 19 through 20. Everything is provided. You know, Reinhard Bonnke's story, when the evangelist wasn't able to come, he's in that stadium. That's his, your story. It doesn't happen till the baby is passed to the front and they think Reinhard's a famous evangelist, and then the healing takes place. And then the stadium became filled without hardly an advertisement. Do you know the testimony of God will fill fields in America? People ask me all the time, how will we fill fields? And I think if you ask that question, you must not know God. Sincerely, and I don't mean to rebuke you, but if that came across that way, it wasn't intended as a rebuke. But when my God turns on what he wants, there is no advertisement that is needed for a fire. When the fire is burning, people will come and watch. And when his saints set themselves on fire with the scriptures of God, I'll tell you what, we will see the power of God on display with his love. That Greek word, delia, is the word for timid shame. Do you know it's generated by a self-centered character? When it says be timid, what Paul is saying, don't be self-centered. Don't be selfish in your character. No. Timothy, I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed of me, but brag about me. Oh man, how would you like to brag about your boss is in prison? And then get out there and stir Ephesus to life. Wow. The resources of power, love, and self-discipline. Well, here we go. So much more to be said. It's 6:58, and I want to stop at this point. I was thinking of the word discipline, and I was reminded of that beautiful word of self-control. It's funny, one of my mentors taught me this great lesson, a lesson that was worth, oh, what a lesson. There was a man that continued to come. This man is a great man now. It was a great man, but he was bound, and he would come to see me wanting to be prayed for. And each and every time, it would manifest in the same way, in an out-of-control manner. And after 10 to 15 times, I called my mentor and said, would you come with me? For surely I don't know the Christ of Scripture. It's on me that he's not free. And so my mentor came in the room, an older man. He observed only 15 to 10 seconds. And he said this to the man, you can stop when you want to stop. You have self-discipline. The man was a believer. And I stood back, 3, 4, 5 feet back. I walked back. I said, what will happen now? The man got up in his sound mind. My mentor said, you've been only doing this to draw attention to yourself. Do not be timid again, but you have self-discipline. When I saw that in the supernatural, I went, self-discipline is no joke. It doesn't get much sale because it's always linked to getting your body in shape, working out, all that. Don't plan to go there. I don't want to go into just superficiality in this book. But when God is saying you have self-discipline, that means pornography can be knocking at your door and what's inside of you is so strong. Don't turn it off. Renew that gift. And then agape love. The most unselfish love has been deposited. When I loved Christy, and I love her more today, we celebrated our anniversary on the 11th. And I 34 years of pure greatness, being married to my bride, Christy. It's fun being married to someone who's a true overcomer in the fullness of the word. Every man should brag about their wife. If they truly are in love, they'll have difficulty not doing it. But I would always be so impressed by her ability to administer self-discipline under excruciating Lyme's conditions to sing the praises of Christ. Paul in prison for you and I. That thousands of years later, we would reach up to Jesus and say, I'm done being ashamed of you, Christ. I fully surrender my life afresh. My calling is in your hands. I am filled with power, dunamis. I am filled with dynamite. Actual power, resurrection power is inside of me. Agape is how I loved Christy those 35 years. He gave it to me. No room to brag on this end. The Father put inside of me agape. And then self-discipline. If you want these things, didomai, they're inside of you. Would you surrender to the truth and accept your calling? Would you surrender to the truth and accept your calling? What is my calling? Focus on following Christ. He's leading you into your calling. We'll hope to see you soon in this series. I hope you enjoyed it tonight. Let's close and pray together. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. And we're amazed that inside of us Christians is such power, is such dynamite, is such love, and such discipline. And we repent of feeling we were less than we are, that we were smaller than we were, that we were inferior in some sense, and our knees would buckle. But no more. We're standing on the truth that in Christ Jesus, we do not have a spirit of timidity, but we have power, and we have love, and we have self-discipline. Therefore, we are not ashamed of the gospel. And I pray for every circuit rider and everyone listening to this in the days and months to come, that you will shout from the rooftop, I belong to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Maybe where you are tonight, you should shout those words, I am with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.